Earlier this month, KVNF's regional newscast brought you an overview of the controversy surrounding the Montrose School Board's decision to hire Miller Farmer Carlson Law. In today's local motion, we'll dig a little deeper into Miller's past and examine why he's become such a divisive figure on the Western Slope. You'll hear Brad Miller speak about conservative school board policy.
Added charter schools, we had merit pay, we attacked the U.S. AP U.S. history curriculum, Fox News-y type of thing, because it wasn't very aligned with the way we did the work, got Planned Parenthood out of the district, those sorts of things.
You'll also hear from Delta School Board President Bess Supes and member Dan Burke on their opinions of Miller.
I am a Miller fan. I've said it quite a bit.
If we get into this discussion with Brad Miller, then I'll have a lot of concerns, I guess, with what I said.
And education policy expert Anna Perkins on the nature of school board legal representation.
Would take a look at policies to make sure that things are updated and, you know, not illegal. Pretty boring, right? Very boring.
Back in March, the Montrose County School District Board of Education voted to hire Miller Farmer Carlson Law. This decision has raised some eyebrows among community members due to its founder, Brad Miller. Critics claim that Miller exerts a right-wing agenda on the school districts he represents, while his supporters say that he provides seasoned counsel that helps conservative boards find balance in a blue state. After the Montrose School Board hired Miller, the conversation didn't end. Several weeks later, the Delta County School Board put out a request for proposals for legal services, immediately stirring speculation that it had opened the door to Miller. His firm ultimately did not submit an application, and the decision to hire additional counsel is on hold until the vacant seat on the board is filled. To better understand the typical relationship between a school board and its legal counsel, we spoke with education expert Dr. Anna Perkins.
My name is Anna Perkins, and I recently completed my PhD in education. I study education policy and specifically school district governance. And I was a school board member in Montana and, you know, just have a variety of experience within the education world.
Dr. Perkins explained that legal counsel provides a variety of tasks for school boards.
Lawyers would take a look at policies to make sure that things are updated and, you know, not illegal. Pretty boring, right? Very boring. They also will manage a lot of contract things, just like any organization, and that might include high dollar amount leases for various technology things or agreements relating to construction. They will overview any sort of contracts, like with the teachers union, classified unions, superintendents stuff their contracts, and sometimes they'll deal with some special education things. Most of the time that's not really necessary, but it's not unheard of. But it's all pretty routine. Like, we are an organization, whether it's a school district or a for-profit entity or anything else, we are some sort of organization, and we need help making sure that our legal agreements, these contracts, are up to snuff.
Brad Miller initially showed interest in speaking with KVNF, but later stopped responding to interview requests. To better understand his perspective, we reached out to Logan Davis, a reporter who has written extensively about Miller for the Colorado Times Recorder. Davis shared a tape he obtained of Miller speaking at the 2023 Teacher Freedom Summit. That was a gathering of conservative educators and activists that took place in Denver. The summit describes itself as an opportunity to, quote, bring together people who are ready to take back America's classrooms, stand up to union politics, and restore truth, morality, and excellence in education. Here's how Miller introduced himself.
Hi, everybody. I'm a lawyer here in Colorado. I've been doing this for about 20 years as a second career. I went to law school when I was 35. And my representation has to do with school districts and charter schools, predominantly charter schools. I work with About 60 or so in my little law firm team in Colorado. And I've become known to be the sort of anti-union, pro-family, pro-parent attorney for school districts and school charter schools here.
In 2013, Miller was hired by the Jefferson County and the Thompson County school boards. In 2015, he resigned from Thompson County right after the teachers' union sued the board for alleged breach of contract, though there's no evidence that the two are connected. That same year, he resigned from Jefferson County following a recall effort against conservative school board members. According to Chalkbeat Colorado, the recall campaign was based on a transparency violation, specifically that Miller's hiring was a done deal before a public vote was taken. Miller had been hired soon after conservative board members had swept into office, and his hiring represented the first time the school board had a lawyer on retainer. During the 2 years that Miller represented the Jefferson County School Board, the average paid per year in legal fees was double what it had been before. Here's Miller speaking at the 2023 Teacher Freedom Summit about representing those boards.
2013 here in Colorado, two school boards that had been traditionally very union heavy and anti-parent, frankly, had the same sort of experience, and they hired me as board counsel, and I thought that that was a very valuable thing. I think in both cases, there were a couple other steps they needed to take. They needed to make sure that they had engaged a superintendent that's aligned with them. And I think a few other elements, the board secretary, the communications person, you know, there's different folks within the system that if they're not aligned with you, they're gonna undermine you if you're moving in parent-friendly ways. So you just gotta be very cognizant of building a structure quickly, but without being too dramatic, because our friends in the union will make out that everything you've done is crazy and it's disruptive and they'll come in noisy board meetings and then blame you for the noise. It's a really fraught environment. I've gone through many, many cycles in Colorado because we don't have a majority in a lot of places. And so when we grab it, it's quick and, by the way, very frustrating. And in one of the big school districts that I got a chance to do this in, we lasted for 2 years until the union had 17 people full-time for a year go knock on doors to get us recalled, to get my folks recalled. We had 2 years to get things done, and we got rid of elements of the master agreement. We added charter schools. We had merit pay. We attacked the U.S. AP U.S. history curriculum, Fox News-y type of thing, because it wasn't very aligned with the way we did the work. Got Planned Parenthood out of the district. Those sorts of things. They recall us, and like 15 minutes later, it was all back. You know, it's hard to. Build that if you build some structure within your that'd be my first point to you is hire the right people to be aligned.
Miller has also represented the Woodland Park School Board since 2022. The Colorado Times Recorder reports that, quote, under Miller's guidance, the board approved a divisive new charter school for the district, hired Miller's longtime ally Ken Witt as superintendent, and became the first district in the nation to adopt the highly political American Birthright Social Studies standards, which were produced by a network of right-wing think tanks. In Miller's first full year as the WPSD attorney, thanks in large part to the board's actions, the district was the target of lawsuits and legal costs increased by roughly 900%, end quote. Erica Meltzer with Chalkbeat Colorado, a publication that focuses specifically on education in the state, spoke to Rocky Mountain Community Radio in 2023 about American Birthright Social Studies.
This is a way that we really see some of the political fractures in Colorado playing out in our local communities. The American Birthright Standards for Civics and History Education are a conservative approach to teaching American history. They've been pretty widely criticized by social studies teachers in the profession, and the State Board of Education explicitly rejected a proposal to base the state's social studies standards on American Birthright. Instead, the State Board of Education, which I should note is a partisan body that is controlled by Democrats, they adopted a set of social studies standards that really aim to be much more inclusive, to include a lot more perspectives in American history, to make sure that diverse voices are represented. but we also have a local control system in Colorado. And so we've seen local boards, for example, in Woodland Park, consider American birthright standards, and they're adopting their own standards, which will have, you know, potentially a pretty big impact on how American history is taught.
Here's Miller talking about his work with Woodland Park at the Teachers Freedom Summit.
Woodland Park, I worked at Woodland Park. We adopted American birthright standards. We got rid of the MOU with the union or the union agreement. We changed our controversial materials so parents have to opt in. They have to choose into the things that might be questionable. And we go right down the line with all of those things. And local boards have tremendous power in education, and we need to wield your power to get the right people there.
Miller mentioned Woodland Park again later in the panel.
Colorado is, for purposes of curricula, still legally, the boards are independent. And so I alluded to Woodland Park. State Board rejected American birthright standards, a more conservative sort of social studies approach. In Woodland Park, we adopted it and said, try to stop us. We're going to do this. I think the local control still prevails in those really important ways, but it has to do with political will.
Miller Farmer Carlson also represents the Elizabeth School Board. In late 2024, the school district was sued by the ACLU of Colorado over a book ban. For a while, the Elizabeth County School District's website had a pop-up asking for donations to help cover legal fees incurred by the lawsuit. The school district lost the lawsuit and decided not to continue with the appeals process. Additionally, a former Elizabeth Middle School dean of students filed a lawsuit in federal court alleging that she was terminated because of her opposition to the district's book ban policy. Miller has also worked with the Alliance Defending Freedom, or ADF, an organization designated by the Southern Poverty Law Center as a hate group due to their involvement in anti-LGBTQ litigation. The ADF previously argued for a Catholic charter school in Oklahoma to be publicly funded in front of the Supreme Court. In an email obtained by Chalkbeat Colorado, Miller stated that the ADF asked him if he could find a parallel case to be initiated in Colorado. That request appears to have led to the founding of Riverstone Academy, a Christian school opened by an education cooperative also overseen by Miller. Riverstone Academy is part of the Pueblo School District, which Miller represents. According to Chalkbeat Colorado, Riverstone's founders didn't follow routine steps to ensure the school's building met health and safety standards before opening to about 30 students last August. By January, local officials ordered Riverstone to close its building, and after initially fighting the effort, school leaders agreed. In March, the school was granted a special use permit, allowing students to return to the building. Miller Farmer Carlson Law is also facing a criminal complaint out of Pueblo. The Montrose Daily Press reports that the complaint, which was filed on February 22nd, accuses Pueblo County School District 70 Board of Education Director Ann Oakes of fast-tracking Riverstone's approval in exchange for a high-salary job with Miller's education company. Bryce Carlson of Miller Farmer Carlson denied any knowledge of the complaint in a phone call with the Montrose School Board in March.
From my perspective, I'm not aware that our office has been contacted by anyone. I'm not aware that we've been contacted by the Attorney General's office. I don't believe we have. And as I said a moment ago, I think any accusation that there's been some sort of quid pro quo involving our law firm would be groundless.
Miller frequently lumps himself in with school boards he represents when referring to pursuing conservative policies. Education expert Dr. Anna Perkins says it's reasonable for school board attorneys to speak this way about policy changes initiated by the school boards.
In general, yes. And with any attorney for any purpose, they've been hired to work for the school board or work for the entity. And so they'll generally talk about us or my client, whatever. I don't find it unnerving if a lawyer was to say that.
Perkins also cautioned against assuming that Miller was hired by the Montrose School Board for any particular reason.
I don't know if my first reaction would be, oh dear, they have hired a firm that has this history of being some sort of activist firm pushing things, it could just be that the price was right, or that they have very specific experience in something that the district is concerned about, like construction stuff or some sort of disciplinary hearings or something. So it could be really, really benign. There's not a lot of money in schools, school districts right now. So finding that cost point, it's not an insignificant thing. But depending on what's kind of on the agenda coming up, I understand why people might be concerned, given his history.
Still, community members have raised concerns about Miller. Yet no members of the Montrose School Board would agree to an interview with KVNF. Member Jody Hovde, who voted against hiring Miller, acknowledged the interview request but said in an email that she wasn't sure it was best at this time, saying, quote, "I'm still navigating the new legal situation, and we've been asked to defer comments to the board president or district office person in charge of communication." You are listening to Local Motion on KVNF. This week, we're examining the controversy surrounding the Montrose School Board's hiring of Miller Farmer Carlson Law. So far, we've learned that the decision has raised some eyebrows among community members due to the firm's founder, Brad Miller. Critics claim that Miller exerts a right-wing agenda on the school districts he represents, while his supporters say he provides seasoned counsel that helps conservative boards find balance in a blue state. We've heard Miller speaking at a 2023 summit where he champions his efforts to help school boards adopt conservative policies. We've also heard from Dr. Anna Perkins, an educational policy expert who says that while Miller's history may concern some, there's no evidence that the school board hired his firm for a particular agenda. Next, we'll hear audio from the March 10th school board meeting when the decision to hire Miller's firm was made, and input from Delta School Board President Beth Supes and member Dan Burke. Though Delta will not be hiring Miller Farmer Carlson in the immediate future, their opposing perspectives illustrate the divisiveness surrounding Miller's new role on the Western Slope. The Montrose School Board discussed the hiring of Miller Farmer Carlson during their March 10th meeting. Here's Nick Kreider, a Montrose resident and criminal defense attorney, making a public comment at the meeting.
A general counsel of this nature is someone who you want to keep you out of the courtroom and out of expensive litigation. The board asks some questions about whether the board directs the attorney or vice versa, and asks the prospective law firms about the nature of the attorney-client relationship, i.e., who does the firm represent? In a June 24th email regarding Riverdale Academy in Pueblo, an explicitly publicly funded religious charter school, Mr. Brad Miller wrote, "ADF asked me if I could find a way for a parallel case to be initiated out of Colorado after SCOTUS deadlocked on a case about a Catholic charter school in Oklahoma. This is not the response of an attorney who represents the district as a client. This is the response of an attorney who represents the national conservative political movement. An attorney whose allegiances lie with that movement cannot be trusted to fairly represent and adequately represent the interests of this district."
Board member Scott Scarborough seemed to brush off that concern later in the meeting.
This is not, it shouldn't be this big a deal. Look at what, you know, who's out there, who does this type of business, what their price is. Good, let's try them out and see. And move on and try to get focus, please focus on the education of the kids and not who attorney we should have, who's attorney we should have.
During the discussion, the board called Bryce Carlson, one of the firm's attorneys, to ask about some of the allegations against his firm. He spoke to the board via phone.
You know, I don't have a policy objective for your board. Certainly, I don't come in to representing Montrose, should we be fortunate enough to have you select to work with us. I don't have a policy objective for you all. I certainly don't have an interest in involving you in the school that you referenced. I'd be here to serve your board, your interests, your district, and whatever that looks like, I'd be happy to assist. So,
Miller's experience with charter schools was mentioned during this meeting.
To experience charters? Charter schools. Obviously, Miller Farmer Carlson shined on that one.
Why do you think they shined?
They had like 80 of them or something like that. A lot, right? Wasn't that what it was?
80, they said.
Yeah. To me, that's a positive thing. So it might not have been a positive thing to everybody, but it was a positive for me.
And I guess we have charter listed, and my question was, we are not a charter school district. We have charters, schools in our district. Mm-hmm. So how much weight do we put on charters versus, you know, like, is because they have 80 charters, is that more important than having 10 charters? I don't know, I'm asking.
Well, you know, I maybe going back to Kaplan and Oates, like, I still don't know how many they have. But when I was reading the CV of Ms. Barber, like, all that was said in there was serving the district with charters, so not actually engaging charters or serving them. So we have, you know, we have two charters. We have MCA and we have VISTA. And, you know, with VISTA wanting to be released to CSI, I really prefer that MCA stays with us. So this is my thinking, you know, just the experience with charters would be beneficial just to make sure that we just follow everything so they have that experience. And they have, you know, 10 to 12 districts. So they have bigger districts. So they've worked with districts that are also working with the charters. So that was my thinking.
Charter schools have become a significant topic of conversation on the Western Slope. In Montrose, the school board approved the Montrose Classical Academy after a newly elected conservative majority took office. A previous board had rejected the proposal last year. And in Delta, the Jefferson Classical Academy was in the midst of the application process before withdrawing several weeks ago, though it may reapply in the future. The Paonia 7 through 12 Charter School also withdrew its application, stating that the application did not match the level the school had hoped for by the deadline, leaving the district with no current charter school applications. Brad Miller's new role in Montrose has gained a lot of attention online. The Delta County Schools Community Hub is an anonymous Facebook page with about 3,000 followers that regularly posts criticism of Miller. Recently, a member of the hub posted the link to a website that compiled public records, timelines, and other documents connected to attorney Brad Miller and his network. The website, which has no author attribution, alleges that Joshua Miller, the son of Brad Miller and a partner at the firm, filed the incorporation documents for Jefferson Classical Academy, previously known as Pueblo Choice Schools. Earlier this year, the Delta School Board put out a request for proposals for legal services. While some community members saw the request as a potential open door for Miller, his firm didn't actually submit an application. However, School Board President Beth Supes says Democratic control of the state legislature is one reason some school districts have sought out conservative attorneys like Miller.
I've been on the board since November 2019, and during my time, there has been a liberal supermajority in the Colorado legislature. You know, recently they have been defeated in the U.S. Supreme Court. So with that, school districts across Colorado are looking for, some school districts across Colorado are looking for an attorney who will help them push against these laws that are being brought on them, that goes against a lot of the community values that they were voted in and elected to pull in their local control. So Brad Miller is well known to be that attorney. He has proven that he will follow and listen to the board's direction.
Delta School Board member Dan Burke, on the other hand, was concerned about the prospect of Miller representing the district.
In regards to Brad Miller, yeah, it's, I think I voiced my opinion at the school board meeting. I'm very concerned about him being anywhere close to our legal counsel. And I'm happy to see that he wasn't part of those RFPs in our board packet. And he, to make a long story short with Brad Miller, I did a lot of background on it, and he just has a pretty checkered past.
Ultimately, Miller's firm did not end up submitting a proposal to the Delta School Board, but Board President Beth Supes believes that he would have been a good choice for the district.
I am a Miller fan. I've said it quite a bit. I've been able to work with him through class, Colorado Leaders for Academic Success. And I believe that he would be good for our community and our district. I am one board member. I am no way knowing that whether he's coming or not. That is not what this is about. Of course, you asked me my opinion on him, and that's what it is. I was surprised, and I believe in reading the proposals that we got back. I don't believe that our RFP or proposal that we sent out was very clear in what we were asking for.
As mentioned, Supes knows Miller from the organization Colorado Leaders for Academic Success. Supes serves as the secretary for the organization, whose incorporation paperwork was filed by Brad Miller's son, Joshua Miller. The group says it's a nonpartisan nonprofit open to all Colorado school boards. But it focuses heavily on parental rights, promoting messaging common in conservative circles. It seems to provide an alternative to the Colorado Association of School Boards, which provides resources, advocacy, and training for educational leadership. Board member Dan Burke had a different response to Miller Farmer Carlson not submitting an application in Delta.
We get into this discussion with Brad Miller, then I'll have a lot of concerns, I guess, with what I said. And like I say, I'm happy to say that, you know, they didn't put in, so, but that doesn't mean that he won't be around. But I keep a watchful eye out, to be honest with you. Whenever his name comes up, my radar goes up, you know, and I go, okay, what's going on?
Supporters and critics of attorney Brad Miller see him very differently, reflecting broader political tensions that are playing out in school boards across Colorado's western slope. Supporters describe him as an experienced attorney who helps conservative majority boards in a blue state. Critics argue he brings a political agenda into public education. Dr. Perkins says the debate ultimately comes back to elections and voter choice.
It's also the nature of democracy that people get what they vote for or get what they chose not to vote for.
Nearly 50% of registered voters in Montrose turned out for last year's election, helping elect a conservative majority to the Montrose School Board. School board elections are technically nonpartisan, but that doesn't stop political parties or organizations from endorsing candidates. Current board members Shane Daly, Tiffany Vincent, Nisha Balick, and Scott Scarborough were all endorsed by the Montrose GOP and were featured on campaign signs and ads. As Dr. Perkins said, quote, people get what they vote for or get what they choose not to vote for. In last year's election, voters in Montrose gave conservative voices a majority on the board, which in turn hired a conservative lawyer who doesn't have any qualms about challenging a blue state. The next school board election will be in 2027. As debates over curriculum, charter schools, book policies, and local control continue to intensify across Colorado, school board meetings have increasingly become battlegrounds for larger political and cultural fights. Attorney Brad Miller has become a prominent figure in those debates. He's praised by supporters who see him as a defender of conservative parental rights, and criticized by opponents who believe he brings an ideological agenda into public education. These conversations underscore how much influence school boards can have, not just over budgets and policy, but over the direction and identity of public education in their communities. And as Dr. Anna Perkins noted earlier in the program, those decisions ultimately come back to voters. School board elections may technically be nonpartisan, but across Colorado's western slope, they are becoming some of the region's most politically consequential races. For now, Miller Farmer Carlson Law will represent the Montrose School District, while Delta County's board will choose a different firm later this year. I'm Audrey McCabe, and this has been Local Motion on KVNF. Thank you to Beth Supes and Dan Burke from the Delta County School Board for sitting down with KVNF, and to Dr. Anna Perkins for sharing her expertise on education policy. Thank you to Logan Davis at the Colorado Times Recorder for sharing the tape of Brad Miller speaking in 2023. This episode was also made possible with support from Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Maeve Conran. If you didn't catch this full episode, it will air again on Saturday at 10 a.m. It's also available whenever you are at kvnf.org, the KVNF app, and Spotify.